Good morning, and thank you for joining us at worship at Brentwood Baptist Church. We hope your week has been a good one, and you honor us by being here in this worship venue with the online facilities. Listen, we'd love to hear about you. If this is your first time, if you have a question about who we are as a church, you want to know more about what we're talking about, and when we talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to have that moment to talk with you. If you would just text CONNECT to 623-623, I promise you we'll be in touch with you as soon as we can. That's the fastest way in all of this COVID stuff to get in touch with us. Just text CONNECT to 623-623, and we'll be in touch with you as soon as we can. When you go to your doctor, and your doctor walks into the examination room and says, "How are you?" He's just not being polite. She's just not passing the time. It's just not a way to begin the conversation. They want to know what's going on in your life. They want to know, do you have a cough? Are you having trouble breathing? Do you have any pain? They want to know what your symptoms are. They want to know what you are experiencing. From what you are experiencing, then they want to be able to track that back to the source of your disease. You have a virus, you have a sinus infection, you have pneumonia, or worse, you have COVID-19. So now we know how to treat the illness because the symptoms have told us what we need to pay attention to. Too many times, we end up trying to treat the symptoms, which doesn't help because it never gets to the core problem. You have a cough, you take a cough drop. Well, it doesn't fix the problem. You're short of breath, so you sit down and you rest, but it doesn't do anything for your bad heart. You see, the worst thing in the world you can do is treat a symptom thinking that you are curing the illness. We live in a world that loves to treat symptoms. But if you only treat symptoms, you never cure the illness. This is the point Jesus was making in a conversation with a Pharisee that happened over dinner. We'll pick it up in the middle of the event. It's in John chapter 7. We'll start reading with verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in the town who was a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at the table at the Pharisee's house. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair, kissing them and anointing them with perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw all of this, he said to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, well, he would know who this woman is that's touching him and that she is a sinner." And Jesus said to him, "Simon, I have a question for you. I have something to say to you." And Simon said, "Say it, teacher." A creditor had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50 denarii. Since neither one of them could pay it back, the master forgave both of them graciously. So which of them would love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." "You have answered correctly," he told him. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she with her tears has washed my feet and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with olive oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. This is why she will love much. But the one who's forgiven little, well, he loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who were at the table with Jesus, they begin to say among themselves, "Who is this man that he even forgives sins?" And then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it. believe it, and live. Let's pray together. Forgive us, Father, when we confuse symptoms with the illness and we're content with feeling better and not being better. We pray that the healing that all of us would know in this moment would be the healing of the illness, not just relief from the symptoms. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Simon the Pharisee was upset. This was an uncomfortable, if not embarrassing, moment. Jesus was making quite a name for himself. People were beginning to respond to his teaching. If they were not responding to his teaching, at least they were respecting the content of his teaching, the depth of his understanding, so much that Simon the Pharisee wanted to get to know Jesus better, so he invited him for dinner. Now, it would have been customary in those days, when someone entered your house, that a slave would meet them at the door and they would remove their sandals and they would wash their feet. It would be customary in those days to allow the guests to be bathed, touched up, cleaned up from the road, an anointing with oil, a washing down of such. You see, most people walked barefooted or real thin sandals. They walked outside. It was dirty. It was dusty. And if you didn't take care of that, you would bring all that dirt into your house, as well as being very uncomfortable while you ate. Simon did none of those things for Jesus. Jesus wasn't respected as an honored guest. His presence was kind of assumed. Nobody made a big deal about it. And so they were eating. Now, in those days, you did not sit at a table. The table would be a U shape. Servants would come and go in the middle of the U. If you were eating, you would lay down on your left arm, your feet would be behind you, and you would eat with your right hand. The woman was standing against the wall. It wouldn't be unusual for people to stand around the wall in this dining room or even courtyard, listening to the conversation, seeing what was going on, and yes, maybe getting a little scrap from the table. But this woman found out that Jesus was there. And what she did, well, honestly, there's just no words for it. Now, understand the moment. You have this table filled with people, probably mostly men, Pharisees or scribes, teachers of the law. Jesus and Simon and the others are probably talking about scriptures, the story of Moses, the Ten Commandments, all of those things that theologians and Bible scholars love to talk about. And all of a sudden, people notice this woman. Maybe it was her sobbing that got their attention. Maybe it was the profound smell of the perfume. You know how it is when somebody wears too much cologne, wears too much perfume, there's this cloud that follows them. Can you imagine being in a living room, a dining room, and somebody breaking open an entire bottle of perfume? The perfume was probably her dowry. It would have been a wedding present to her future husband, something that they would then sell and use to set up their housekeeping. It was part of her future. It was part of her married life. This is how they would get their life started. She gave all that away, sacrificed all of that to bathe Jesus' feet in that pungent-smelling perfume, bathe his feet in her tears, and dry his feet with her hair. There was a silence. Nobody knew what to say. There was an uncomfort. This is way too intimate. This is way too close. Listen, if you want to do something like that, don't do it at dinner. It's just not becoming. It's just not good manners. But Jesus didn't stop her. Jesus let this carry on. Now, everybody was quiet and watching. Simon didn't say anything, but he thought it. If this man was a prophet, if this man had an inside with God, then God would have told this man, if he was a prophet, that the woman touching him was a sinner. Remember, if you're a holy man in the time of Jesus, you could be made unholy. You could be made unclean just by the touch of a woman. If Jesus was a prophet, he would not let this sinner touch him. But he did. Jesus knew what Simon was thinking. Funny, isn't it? Simon says, if you were a prophet, you would know that this woman is a sinner and you wouldn't let her touch you. But Jesus is a prophet, so he knows what Simon is thinking. Let me ask you a question, Jesus says. The man has two servants. One owes him 500 denarii. A denarii was a day's wages. So this poor servant owed his master almost 2 years' worth of work. Another servant owed him 50. Because the master was gracious, he forgave both of them. Who loved the master more? Simon doesn't have to think long. Oh, I guess it would be the guy who was forgiven 500 denarii rather than the guy who was forgiven 50, the guy who had more to lose. He was the one who loved the master more. Exactly. That's the correct answer. When I came into the house, you didn't wash my feet, but she has bathed my feet in her tears. You did not anoint my head with oil. She has bathed me and my feet with perfume. This woman is a sinner. Probably in that town, everybody knew who she was and they knew the extent of her crimes. Nobody needed to bring up anything. But somewhere along the way, she had met Jesus and realized that she was forgiven and now came to worship. This woman's sins are forgiven, Simon. Even though she needed to be forgiven for a lot. That's one of our problems, isn't it? We don't take sin seriously. Like Simon, whatever we've got going on in our life, listen, if there's something that needs to be changed, if there's something that needs to be fixed, then it's a little tune-up, right? It's a little polish. It's a little paint touch-up. And listen, if we really need to change something, we'd probably change it in the next day or two. Like every addict I've ever talked to, yeah, I can quit this stuff anytime I want to. Oh, I thank God I'm not like a lot of people in the world, we say, and we always compare ourselves to an axe murderer. We don't take our own sins seriously enough. We do not understand the trouble that we are in. We like to talk about the symptoms. So we'll have meetings and conventions and sermons and books written on all of the symptoms. So we'll have a meeting and we'll talk about how the races of the United States need to get together. And we will say we need to address systemic racism. Do I believe that there is systemic racism? Yes, I believe that there is an evil system trying to destroy the dignity of Black American men and women. We call it the fall. Do I believe that there's a system that's trying to destroy young boys and defeat the man that God called them to be? Yes, we call it the fall. Do I believe that there is a system in our country, in our world, that is just trying to destroy and demean and dehumanize young girls and the beauty that Christ created them as women? Yes, we call it the fall. And you and I are infected with this virus. And we celebrate because we're going to die later than somebody else. Scared to death to admit that we're all on death row. We're all on death row. Sinners, trapped, held hostage. We can't fix this. What's your favorite passage of Romans? It's probably the same passage that everybody loves. It's the end of chapter 7. The things I want to do, I can't do, Paul writes. The things I know that I'm not supposed to do, I end up doing anyway. Who will save me? Who will save me? Our world is so broken, we can't tell up from down, right from wrong. We're like Simon. We want to have long discussions with Jesus. We want to get his opinion and his input on certain things, but we won't worship him. We won't confess how bad our sins are. It's not that you jaywalked. It's not that you broke one or two of the commandments. It's that you grabbed what God gave you and you stole it for your own. You went into rebellion against God. I went into rebellion against God. And this rebellion, like any treason, like being any traitor, well, the punishment for that is death. That's your sin. You can dress it up however you want to. It's my sin. You can cover it and spray it with perfume however you want to, but it is still sin, and it is still the death penalty. And we come to this moment not like Simon, not like the Pharisee, but like the woman who realizes she has nothing to lose. If Jesus doesn't help her, there'll be no help at all. If Jesus doesn't save her, she won't be saved at all. So in this extravagant moment of giving everything she has, she bathed our Savior's feet, and her tears and this perfume. The people grumbled. Who is it that this man thinks he is that he forgives sins? That wasn't the first time Jesus had gotten in trouble for forgiving sins. There are other stories. The man who was let through the house, remember the paralyzed guy who was let through the house by his four friends? Instead of healing him first, Jesus forgave his sins. Then he healed him. Because Jesus didn't come here to treat a symptom. He came here to cure the problem. So who is this Jesus that forgives sins? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He is the name in which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Son of God. He is our brother. He is the Lamb who is sacrificed for our salvation. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. That's who He is. And there's nobody like Him. The hard point of this sermon is realizing that you'd really like to be Simon the Pharisee. You'd really like to be the guy who's cool enough, rich enough, has enough status in the community to invite Jesus over and realize you're not Simon at all. I'm not Simon at all. I'm the woman, you're the woman, standing against the wall, knowing that Jesus Christ has paid it all. In this beautiful short story, there are some things that you can't forget. The first one, sinners are always welcome. I know any time that I talk to you, you want to give me a long list of all the reasons Jesus should not love you, of all the reasons you can't change. But Jesus waited for this woman, received her worship. He'll wait for yours. And no matter what the crime, whether it is 500 denarii or 50, whether it is big or it is little, Jesus is waiting to forgive you if you will but ask. Just as this woman came and joined Jesus at the table, we invite you now to join us in the celebrating of the Lord's Supper. So we hope you and your family are ready to do this with us, whoever you're with now in your living room or your kitchen or wherever you're watching us. This bread is simple. There's nothing holy or special about the bread at all. It reminds us that Jesus' body was broken for us. It reminds us that man can't live by bread alone, that this isn't enough. You can't just treat the symptom. You have to cure the illness. The body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat all of it. Exodus tells the story of the death angel. The night when God took the firstborn of all of Egypt, the Hebrews were told to put the blood of this sacrificed lamb on the doorpost of their home, and the angel of death would see it and pass them by. Symbolically, we remember that moment. And we remember now that in the blood of Christ, you are now covered. And when death sees you, death will pass you by. The blood of Christ shed for you, it is indeed the blood of life. Take and drink all of it. Lord Jesus, as we remember the unspeakable and unthinkable sacrifice that you made for us, we pray that we in turn would lay down our lives for you in this moment. No, not that it makes us even, it doesn't. It's just the only way we can respond. For we are the ones who have been forgiven much. And we are the ones that love you much. Receive now our entire lives as worship. And we pray this in your name. Amen. We'd love to have the chance to talk to you more about a relationship with Jesus Christ, what it means to be forgiven, what it means to have a second chance, what it means to start over with a life of purpose and hope. Would you give us that chance? Just text CONNECT to 623-623, and we'll be in touch with you as soon as we can. If you want to know more about Brentwood Baptist Church, we'd love to tell you about our church family. I'd love to have that chance. Just text CONNECT to 623-623, and we'll be in touch with you as soon as we can. If you've been forgiven much, you will love much. Truth is, all of us have been forgiven much. I pray this week will be filled with love, you for Christ and Christ for you. Thanks for being here. God bless you. We'll see you next time.